CliffCentral.com.
All right, everybody, good morning. Yep, we're live. It is Wednesday, the 13th of January, and the month is moving fast. Things are happening. We were meant to be free of these rules that were implemented just after Christmas, but now it's been extended. So, you know what? Valentine's Day falls right into the space of the new alcohol ban, which carries on until, I think, the 15th of February. So that means don't think you can have a drink with someone you love. Mind you, don't think you can be with someone you love. It's not going to happen. You're on your own. Speaking of being on your own, our guest on the show this morning says he's been celibate for so long, he bought an ice cream just to feel that he could lick something. Shame, Al. I'm so sorry. Alan Ford, everybody. Alan Ford, Sia Sangweni, Gareth Cliff, and you. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning to you.
How are you, Al? Yeah, good. Well, how are you?
Alan.
I haven't seen you in ages. I haven't seen you in like a year.
Yeah, about 10 months of all this COVID-19 nonsense. Well, it's the real thing. I mean, it's a real
sure.
deal. I mean,
have you had it? But that's what everybody asks when you see them. They're like, have you had it?
I haven't. But I have been for seven tests.
Seven?
So I've had seven. I've had that thing up my nose seven times. It's the only thing that's been up me in 10 months.
You must enjoy it if you keep going for seven different tests, or are you paranoid? What's the story?
You know, we're traveling all the time. We're filming across the country. And my dad has got diabetes, so we've got to be very careful. So, and because we've been traveling so much, for example, the first test I had, we were doing something for sponsors of Brave at this particular hotel. And Clint Austin and Nicole Kappa both got it at the table while we were sitting with Derek Watts.
Oh, shit.
And we were having a dinner after we'd filmed something that afternoon.
Yeah.
And I got a phone call that week saying, please, Alan, you've got to phone Derek Watts. Could you imagine carte blanche saying that this guy, Clint Austin, Nicole Kappa, killed Derek Watts? So that's when we took our first test.
Yeah.
And that was in April. And then from there, it's just been seven other – it's very expensive. Very expensive.
I've heard.
And I've never had the tongue one.
Okay, so but hang on. That one that they put up your nose, it always looks really, really uncomfortable and shitty. And I've seen them doing it on TV. I don't know why they have to keep showing us visuals. In fact, it makes me sneeze. They show these people pushing this thing that's this long up someone's nose.
It's
my God. You see, it's making me sneeze.
It looks like they'll come back with a piece of your brain.
Oh, my God. Is it very uncomfortable? Is it weird?
It's so strange. It's like someone literally has fiddled with your brain. It's an odd feeling. It feels like a snake in your head or something weird like that.
Oh, my God.
But listen, it's what it is. And you just do it and you just get on with it. And I've had an antibody test as well, which means I haven't had it. Wow. So, yeah, it's quite strange. It just
so many
maybe it
tests.
Just doesn't want to be with me. Like a lot of people.
Shame, Al.
The dating situation's been really shit.
Yeah,
it's
said
really bad.
You said you've been celibate, and I mean, usually for you, I'm not sharing very personal information here when I tell the audience that you used to go to Cape Town in the summer. You'd be there in December and January, and you'd have the time of your life partying it up and. Crazy, meeting lots of people, and you know that was your fun time. You work all year to go and have some fun. You didn't go there this year. Did you go away at all?
I went to Belito, Gareth. I actually went with my brother and his kids, and we rented a house right on the beach. And then they closed the beach the second day that we were there.
Oh, what a! You're exactly the people that I was talking about when I said I feel so sorry for these people who booked holidays, and now they're going to sit in their houses.
Annoying. Listen, it was nice to see the sea instead of seeing a wall. It was a bit of a better experience.
No.
But you know what? It was a very different Christmas. It's the first time in almost, I think, 20 years I haven't been overseas or have been in Cape Town.
Yeah.
But I was in Cape Town just before Christmas, and I could see it was starting to get a little bit wild there. I was working there and filming throughout the mother city.
Yeah.
And you could just see the Grand Beach Club, for example, was rather full. And certain places weren't following. Listen, we didn't have the alcohol restrictions. We had the curfews at that particular time. But it was, you could see that the people were edgy. They wanted to move. They wanted to dance. They wanted to kiss and sing and do all this, these fun things. But, I just realized that Cape Town would have been a little bit more dangerous for myself than other parts. And also, we had lost, I mean, in 8 days, Gareth, not to put a damper on this, in 8 days between the 27th of December and the beginning of January, I lost three family members to COVID. Two friends in their 40s and two other people that I know that committed suicide in a space of 8 days.
That must be some kind of record.
Two people, someone like
yikes.
I think it might be, but I know I'm Lebanese, and I also know a lot of people.
Yeah, so, you know. Yeah, that's fair enough. I mean, Alan Ford, your phone book is famously, you got like 9,000 people on your phone call list or something. So
seriously. Yeah. But also, Gareth, we lost our good friend in the industry, Dawn Lindbergh.
Right. You knew Dawn very well, and actually you were very involved with – used to have her on your show all the time, and you used to help her with the Naledi Awards and everything else. And I obviously I knew her from a distance, but how's the family doing? I mean, I mentioned on the show that, you know, we'd had her around and I'd interviewed her a few times, and she was always this very bubbly, very happy, very lovely, very generous human being who, without – her interventions, the theatre industry in this country may well have died an ugly death long, long ago.
Well, Gareth, it's just quite sad because there was a luncheon that they went to in Plett, her and Des and some other people. Just last week, her sister at the same luncheon, her sister also died now of COVID.
Oh, God.
The same luncheon.
Oh, my God.
So while this is doom and gloom, it really is doom and gloom. So I had spoken to Dawn on the Tuesday. I actually had to do some financial stuff with her, and some sponsorship stuff. And then on the Saturday, she was rushed to hospital and she was gone on Monday. And she was perfectly, she was talking like you and I on the Tuesday. And she had her test that day and then she only got the results on the Wednesday. I could be a day out, but I mean, so I just thought, let's rather be safe than sorry. Let's rather go towards the epicenter of Belita. No, I'm joking.
That sounds very sensible, yeah.
So we rented a home in Belita.
I'm surprised you didn't try to jig the system, because you often find a way around things and got yourself a fishing license so you could go and sit on the beach. I would have expected that of you.
Can I tell you, I thought of it, and it was for 57 Rand.
Yeah.
And I thought, that would it be –
that's a deal.
But imagine you sitting there with a fake fishing rod having a tan.
But the question was, what do I – firstly, I don't have a rod, so that's our first problem. So where would I find a rod? But then a fishing net. So I went to think, maybe I buy those little – that would constitute a fishing.
Yeah, the kids ones, like those sand –
kiddies nets.
Don't you still buy those the bucket with the spade and the fishing net in it that you could buy for the kids?
Well, I mean, I don't really use the bucket in – and because of COVID, we couldn't spade anything. But the end of the day, to fish, and I really need a lot. It's been lonely.
Same, L. Jesus, it sounds like it. You brought it up like five times, and we're only 15 minutes into the show.
No. I'll get to it. It hasn't been that lonely.
So but, 57 but Rand, huh? That's all you needed.
57 Rand for the license. According to the cop that was right outside the house, because we were right on the beach. And so I would speak to this cop and ask him, but you couldn't. You know, the thing is that if you looked at the beach, there was no one on the beach.
Not even fish. Not even people who are going to fish.
No, the fishermen would stand on the rocks and you could see them. And I would even, listen, that was because a lot of people said, why they're on the beach or why they're on the rocks. Very simple. I mean, that's their livelihood for many people. They're catching fish. And it might be a way that they're feeding their home. Their homestead. So, but the whole thing there, if you think about it, is that to actually, I mean, so you can't stop people from feeding and bringing income in, you know, so that was that. But I'll tell you this, I would leave the house. We never went to a restaurant in 12 days. I left the house once for a drive, and then we would walk on the promenade in the evening with our masks on.
Right.
And I was walking, and the promenade's around about 1.8 kilometers long,
mm-hmm.
1.8 back, which is great to get some exercise. So I'm walking on this promenade, and I'm brisk walking. I've got my hat on. I look like
you look like Al Capone.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
I've seen you with your hat.
With my Panamas. And I'm busy walking and I'm brisk walking.
No, you look like Luciano. You look like a thinner version of Luciano Pavarotti. And you were probably singing opera songs with a pair of dark glasses on and completely oblivious to anything going on around you. Unless, of course, a really good man walked past you, then you'd pay attention.
So I had my brother's kids walking with me, and they're walking quickly. And they were like, keep up, Uncle, you know, you've got to keep fit. So I'm bobbling along, mm-hmm. as one does. And this woman comes up to me and she says, chubby, and this, I'm just seeing this hair, this mask, and this lady in like a really like not the nicest tracksuit, to be honest.
Okay.
And especially, and I look, and next thing she jumps on me.
Oh, Jesus. No social distancing there.
And no, because it's obviously people hadn't seen each other.
Yeah.
And it was Yvonne Chaka Chaka.
Oh, wow. Machaka. Okay. All right.
So then everyone thought we were mad because we were screaming loud at dusk, okay? And these people are walking past and the kids are running away. Because what's going on?
Oh, my God.
And, yeah, so that was Miss Chaka, Machaka. She has a home in Belize, I believe.
But, Alan, you would go to a party, an event, some dinner at least once every 2 weeks. And you've had none of that over the past couple of months. Isn't that weird for you?
Well, that's what, I mean, I haven't been to a party. I mean, I've been to dinners, but under really very strict circumstances. I also moved, you know, my my home, my family live in one side, my parents live one side of my home in Johannesburg. So I'm very scared that I'm traveling, I'm filming, and I'm busy all the time, and I'm working at the office as well. So I just made sure. So first, I'm been living in a hotel.
So are you in the hotel at the moment, and you're doing that to keep your parents at a distance?
Both frozen. You there? So I lost you for a sec. So I've been staying in a hotel for most of this. Because I'm scared to bring it home.
Yeah.
So I've been eating in a hotel. People come here, I see them for a brief period of time. But for months, you're right. I haven't been to a party. I'm praying. I've been sober for a lot of this year, which is
sure.
really good. Sober, celibate, all of that. It's been fun. But I will tell you, you can't do anything. So, and if you're doing it, you're being stupid. You are being dumb. And, I do miss a good little razzle and dazzle, but I think that'll come soon.
I hope so. So I just want to go to some emails quickly. And if you're wondering what's happening this morning, we've actually got quite a busy schedule for you. We've got lots of people popping in. Alan Ford is with us right now, and we haven't checked in with him for, I think, through the whole course of this pandemic, basically. I mean, maybe right in the beginning. He's with us. We're also going to check in with Sean Sanders later on and find out about Revix and find out about what's happening with your investments over there. I see, by the way, that Bitcoin is at $33,000 this morning, which is a hell of a lot less than the highs that it reached just a week and a half ago when it was at its absolute peak. So we'll find out from Sean what he has to say about that. Always useful information. We'll check in with somebody else as well along the course of the way who could be quite cool to speak to. I'm, in fact, quite excited about that. Alan's going to tell us a couple of other stories. But before we get to that, I got an email from Woman of Color. She says, I really appreciate those cold ice buckets of reality that Joe Camino brings on the show. Now, we had Joe on, I think, Monday, and he was telling us about you know, how we can get our finances in order. And Woman of Color, who lives in Amsterdam, I think, she says she's been paying 84 euros a year in car insurance unnecessarily for 4 years for her little skorokoro and those sons of bitches who just taken her money. So thanks to Joe Camino on Monday, she's managed to bring that number right down. See, we are helping people in small and big ways. She also says, woman of color, that Pumi used to have an excellent financial advisor on her show, Womandla, who's called Michelle Davis. Yes, I remember Michelle. Please invite Michelle. That's a good idea, Sia. I learned from her, for example, that South African banks write wills for you free of charge. They also tell you how to appoint a trustee, where to keep your passwords, etc. That's quite cool information. I think that could be very handy. I had an excellent Christmas in South Africa. I disobeyed all the stupid rules and argued with all the shop assistants. I refused those disinfectant sprays. I tried on all the clothes I wanted to, touched all the clothes, and dared the assistants to disinfect them like they claim they do. I threatened to lick the clothes too, and the whole time I thought, boy, am I glad I'm not on Gareth's show. Nobody will cancel me. How does trying on clothes in a store transmit COVID? Seriously. And she says, this woman of color is mad. She says,
it is such a nuisance.
Borders are open if you're rich, and it makes no difference, she said. It's only the poor people who can't travel. In fact, I think Piers Morgan got into a whole lot of trouble in America. I was reading a news story just, I mean, not America, in the UK, a couple of days ago. Now, he does this this morning TV show, and he was telling people the whole time, don't travel, you must rather cancel Christmas, you know, you don't get to see your families, blah, blah, blah. And then he got onto a plane, first class, and flew to Antigua in the Caribbean for his holiday. Nice. So don't do as I say. Don't do as I do, rather. Do as I say.
Do as I say. Right.
So a woman of color jokingly saying that here's to another fun-filled and successful year. So always good to hear from her. She obviously,
woman of color,
she didn't give a shit.
I'm confused about woman of color.
Yes.
Is woman of color joking about this, what she just spoke about? Obviously.
What, the licking of clothes? And, yeah, no, really she's, no, she was joking.
About all the clothes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, she's not
she's
the kind
joking,
of, she's not
like
the, yeah, but she's not the kind of person to follow rules. And, you know, we do, I mean, I appreciate people who break the rules. Just don't put anyone else in danger. You can break the rules for yourself as much as you want.
But just buying clothes, I mean, come on. And, you know, like, even if you know your size, sometimes it's about the fit and you just
want to
try it on.
Yeah, sure, you
want to
try it on.
Don't
tell
me.
And you know what? You're not going to pass anyone COVID by trying on clothes. This is paranoia. That's what that is.
So, I mean, listen, try on your – you know, I've done a lot of work, and I had a new television show start called Dad Looked Up on KNET on the 1st of January, where we opened the show with a medical expert. And so we've done a lot of work with people like Dr. Emil Reed.
What's the show called?
Duidelijk Dapper.
Oh, Duidelijk Dapper. Okay, so that means
Clearly brave.
Clearly brave. Okay.
No, of the brave, yeah, that type of stuff. So the show it is Friday night at 5:30 and repeats throughout the week. That being said, thank you. The show.
That is that is a shitty time slot they gave you.
No, it's great times on the weekends, and it's great
all
over the week. Yeah.
All right.
They'll be happy with the time slot.
Yeah.
Listen, the cool thing is that people are at home, so they're watching TV.
No, that's also
true.
TV's up. Thank goodness.
Look, we watch you all the time, Gareth. How does that go? But here's this, is that we speak to people like Dr. Darren Green, Dr. Emil Reed in particular, who's an infectious disease specialist.
Mm-hmm.
Great guest to get on your show, actually.
Sure.
Quite a superb. And you know, the rules that they speak about is that firstly, you have to mitigate the risk. That you've got to look at this. So mitigate the risk.
Okay, yeah.
So, for example, standing in a party and kissing three people in a nightclub is being very risky. Right?
No.
That's just one small example. The second thing you're going to do is you have to be reasonable. So if you need to try on a shirt, you try on a shirt. If you have to be within reason and use common sense. Okay?
Yeah.
And the third point is don't put your thoughts onto other people. Now, what does that mean? Is that, yes, if you're not wearing your mask, you can say to someone, please put your mask on. You're not supposed to be doing that. But you can't tell someone not to wear a shirt or to try a shirt on. That doesn't make much sense. You're not being reasonable. And you're not using common sense.
I think
a lot of these things just don't, there's just some oddness to it. As Venetia points out, she sent us a message. You can't try on clothes, but you can take it home to try, take it back and exchange and repeat the cycle. It's like, yeah, why wouldn't you on your own in a stall be able to try things, but you can take things home? That journey going home, what if you use public transport and then there are tons of people at home?
No, who could possibly look,
touch, you know?
We know a lot more now than we did at the start of this thing. And at the beginning, everybody was like, it was like a science fiction movie where you were, you know, don't touch this, don't go there. Now we know that how it mostly is passed on. Not everything, but we know most of it. And I think it is just common sense. Like, let's just all have a little bit of common sense. We've all lost our minds. I mean, Alan, you were saying, that you've seen some people who behave very strangely. Now, apparently, while you've been at this hotel, there's a woman there.
Oh, Lord. This is a story of note.
And this woman, like, she's walking around taking pictures of people and all kinds of strange behavior, which before would have got you arrested, frankly.
So Gareth, this is a beautiful hotel in the Waterfall area in Midrand.
Right.
It used to be a part of the Alton Swallow Group. It's no longer, but it's called Ribberville.
Okay.
And the reason I like being here, besides just the fact that I'm trying to take precautions, is because it's got the most beautiful view that looks onto the Magaliesberg.
All right.
And at least it's a nice way, and it's a nice way to look out. Okay. Well, I'll show you just now where it is. And so, this hotel is run by one man, and it's great, and it's got 16 rooms. And this woman, and it's on this magnificent estate here, the equestrian estate here at Waterfall. And some of these houses, if you've ever driven here,
it's incredible.
Are literally hundreds of millions of rands. Literally. I mean, one particular home has got 36 underground parking spaces for cars. One home. So it's crazy stuff. So it's let's call her Karen for the sake of
it. Yeah, because she's a Karen. Go on, tell us what she does.
Okay. So this lady, firstly, obviously went to the Homeowners Association and decides in front of this like polo field to build a fence because she puts up a fence. Okay. Now, this is ridiculous. So her and the homeowners, because she's now leading this anti-hotel Leah project, or I don't know, I think because this hotel's got a name, I think because there's a lot of people of color here and rich people that she doesn't like these people because she's got a fan surname, if you catch my drift. And I'm telling you, this is the reason.
Ooh, Alan, so, very racist.
So she's built this strange, weird fence.
Yeah.
I feel like she's like Donald Trump. She put this fence here, okay, seriously, right, in the middle of the field to block what's owned by the hotel and what's owned by the estate.
All right.
Then she's created a lot of problems saying that this hotel, which is like a five-star establishment, is filled with murderers and hookers. Now,
well, you're in there, so, I mean, maybe she's got a point. Listen, you could be a hooker. How do we know you're not a hooker?
No, because hookers get paid. I'm a slut, so I'd rather be a slut than a hooker.
All right. Okay.
All right. So, can't believe I said that. Yeah. And then, so next thing, I was sitting at this hotel, and I'm by myself because I'm self-isolated because I have to work, and I look in the bush, and I think there is something in the bush.
What is this, like, this is outside your room?
No, outside, there's an area where you can sit and have lovely meals, and it's all outside.
Okay.
And I look, and I see this.
Like there's someone creeping around in the bushes.
Creeping around in the bushes.
Okay.
So I think maybe it's someone doing the gardening. It must be. And I look at it. A person looks like a white lady in the bush. And I'm thinking, wow, she must be a botanist or something. Obviously someone looking after.
Only you would think there's a botanist. Okay, yeah, all right.
Well, it's a beautiful, it's got beautiful flowers and ducks and stuff like that and swans. So, I'm looking and I'm thinking, that's rather odd. Meantime, for the past month, this Karen, it's called a Karen.
Yeah.
For the sake of it, van something, in this estate, is busy with a camera taking pictures in the bushes of people, thinking that we have obviously drinking because and we're murdering.
Oh, so she's trying to get she's a busybody who's trying to get the hotel into trouble because she doesn't like the fact that people are staying there, and she
I must tell you, I mean, you get some of the real beautiful black diamonds here from Tokyo Sequoia right through that have meetings, and obviously this woman.
I wouldn't call Tokyo strangely, beautiful, but I hear you.
Yes. Okay. Very point taken. But I mean, and Zakes and Darwin, and so maybe she thinks that there's something that of some weird thing happening because you see, people have this right because we've got a more expensive house, we can exclude other people, and we can go and investigate them, and she's got like a 30 million rand house down there.
Yeah.
And so, literally, but in the bushes, are you that like ridiculous? Do you need a laugh? Do you know what you need? Please excuse my language. You need a good fuck.
Yeah.
Don't get someone to shy at you, man. What's wrong with you?
No, there are people
excuse
who...
Excuse my language, I promise you.
There are people who need desperately to control everyone else. And and we've all heard of these people over the last couple of months because they're everywhere. And they've come out in force over the course of the lockdown because suddenly they've had a means by which to control other people. And they'll use COVID or whatever is at hand. You know, they'll use community guidelines. They'll use WhatsApp groups. They'll use whatever they can. There are a bunch of busybodies in this world who are just no good for any of us. And I can't stand people like that. So I hope you told her to piss off.
I didn't realize what this – I thought, again, she was a botanist. So I'll tell you something else. So now the hotel sponsored a cancer drive for breast cancer in October.
Right.
And young people from neighboring gyms decided to do a walk around the estate, just normal people, and they're walking to raise funds for breast cancer.
Okay.
She came outside the house – this lady, this lunatic of a human, okay, effing them, saying to them, you should get off my house, of my estate. And, but they said that the hotel had sponsored, and all we've done is gone for a walk. I mean, just because you have a rich house in a closed fence doesn't mean you can stop people from just walking around. It's ridiculous. There are other homeowners here that gave the permissions. So it's an abnormal situation. But it comes back to
– And it's not like it's not like people are walking through her house. You know,
no, of course not. No, actually, here's the point. The point is, get a laugh.
Yeah,
get a laugh. Okay, seriously. Number one, number two, and I say this with all due respect. You know, let people be. If they're not interfering with your life, if they're not hurting you, if they're walking for cancer, if they're sitting having a meeting, why are you coming with your camera to come look to see if people are drinking or if they're not drinking? What are you trying to achieve?
Okay, she's probably got nothing to do.
Rich people, rich,
yeah,
rich,
yeah, but don't
rich ladies without jobs.
Lots of nice rich people. I know that Bulelo right now is busy agreeing with you wholeheartedly because he feels the same way. But I don't think it's necessarily. You know, if you're a shitty person without money, you'll be a shitty person with money. And if you're a nice person without money, you'll be a nice person with money. And there are some people who just maybe they marry well or something happens in their lives and they end up with loads of cash and they're bored. And there are a lot of those housewives in Joburg, and then they make it their business to interfere with stuff that is not their business.
Well, there was a wonderful movie called That Darn Cat with Hayley Mills. It was a Disney film. And again, there's with that nosy neighbor that's looking through the window, that's trying to bust you, that's going to phone somebody, that's calling the police all the time, that's making nonsense. And you know what? Be a good neighbor. Be a kind person. What difference does it make if someone are walking on their estate for cancer? What difference does it make?
The effort of getting a camera and creeping in the bushes. I mean, you have to have a moment with yourself when you're stuck in a bush, taking photos of strangers going, this is it.
Or you're like, you're putting a strange headgear, like a weird hat on your head so you can stand at the bar and take pictures. I mean, you're crazy.
Yeah,
you've got to get a laugh, honey. You've got to find something.
Ruth says she knows of a few people who also need that treatment that you were discussing just now, a good fuck. She says that there are loads of people at the moment who are very, very frustrated because of what's been going on, and they're taking it out on the people around them.
Buy a machine. There's a shop
called
Adult World. Don't buy something and you fix yourself.
A machine, Al. All right.
A lot of great advice here from Alan.
All right, listen, we've got to get some headlines in here quickly. So let's do that quickly and find out what's happening in the world. First of all, from News 24 this morning, Aaron Motsoaledi, who is the Minister of Health, suspends applications for IDs, passports, and marriage services. He says he has decided that it's a good idea to temporarily suspend certain critical services, including applications for new IDs and passports. Only matriculants may apply for an ID, while passport applications will only be accepted from those who are allowed to travel under the amended regulations. Don't tell me that this isn't some kind of a massive incursion on your liberties, everybody. If you don't have an ID, there are a lot of things you can't do. If you don't have a passport, there are a lot of places you can't go. And this is government doing what I think this is just really. He was Minister of Home Affairs before, remember? Aaron Motsoaledi. So he knows what a disaster the Department of Home Affairs is. I think he's using COVID as an excuse so that they don't have to put out passports and IDs.
Yeah, and also, I feel like with the government, pausing things or just having extensions is just their go-to thing. What they don't realize is this is how you create more and more of a backlog. And this is how we'll have more people who now need to travel, who need to apply for jobs.
Thank you so much.
And they can't do that.
Thank you for pointing that out, because it's not an obvious thing to a lot of people in government. You've just made the point that you create bigger backlogs with this. You don't make the situation better, which I think is what Aaron Motsoaledi is trying to do here. He obviously is going to use the excuse that at Home Affairs, people are queuing up. There isn't enough social distancing. Maybe they're not wearing masks. Well, that is, again, either they're wearing masks and doing the social distancing, in which case you must keep the offices open because you've told us that keeps us safe, or we should just close the offices because it's not safe, in which case why is everyone else having to wear masks and socially distance? You can't have it both ways.
If you want to talk about creating jobs,
yeah.
The first thing I would do is fire everyone in that department. Seriously, fire them.
A whole of Home Affairs.
Have you ever seen a bunch of more useless people at Home Affairs? No. Have you ever been to these Home Affairs offices?
No.
Okay. You stand in queues. I went last year to get a passport. In 2019, I went to get a passport. Can I tell you, I stood in for 6 hours in Randburg. 6 hours. Stood in the queue just to go and to get, just to take the, and all the documentation is done in a queue for 6 hours. I stood in the queue for 3 hours to collect the passport and the ID document. I thought, well, I might as well do both together, double the price, whatever, just do it. So I got now the card, I've got the passport. 6 hours in the queue. Some guy walks out and says, I'll never forget this. He says, you know, and of course we don't work for 702, but he says, you can report this to 702, but you've got to stay in the line. And this is how long you've got to wait. Then they closed off the line. Half the people they sent back because they knew they were not going to process. Their computers do not work. Do not work.
Oh, it's offline.
I think my Lucy Gigaba was still in that position, actually. I mean, really,
that's right.
How more useless do you want?
I mean, that's
seriously. And give new jobs to people that need them. Dismiss. Bye.
Yeah, well,
that would be a clever.
If only it was possible for you to fire people in South Africa, but it has become really, really difficult to do that. And you know, you employ people; you can't just fire someone.
No, well, Garrett, you know what I'm trying to get at.
No, I'm with you.
See, but you have an
I agree.
They're ineffective. They're poorly led. That it will stop for a break when the queue's packed.
Well,
often in our banks, they do the same for lunch.
Motsoaledi says he's doing this because the people who work in Home Affairs have been affected in one way or another. He says, out of the 5,734 employees, 4,502 were affected in one way or another. Either they were infected or they were the contacts of those who were infected or came from families where someone was affected. So, I mean, this is the kind of madness that suddenly, and don't think for a second that those 5,734 people who work for Home Affairs have suddenly stopped getting their salaries. If they close down Home Affairs, they still get paid. Not like you and me. If we stop working, we don't get paid.
And sadly, I mean, that makes no sense because the person clearly doesn't think. But I mean, it's like closing down Checkers or Woolworths. I'm sure those people all being affected. or infected.
Well,
but let's just close our shops.
Well, here's some useful. here's one useful thing. I mean, it's all just paperwork, and governments are extremely good at just creating a whole lot of bullshit where they don't need to. Foreigners who've been stuck in South Africa due to lockdown will be allowed to have another year of visa extension. This is good because obviously, if you've been stuck here for a year and you can't get out, and your visa's about to run out, then you could be deported. Or worse, and you don't have any rights here and all the rest of, well, certain rights that are made difficult. So the Department of Home Affairs has said that they're going to make adjustments to alert level 3, and that means that there are further 3-month grace periods that will kick into action to foreigners who are holding expired visas. That makes a lot of sense. That's one sensible decision. So if you're worried about that, if you're a foreigner in South Africa at the moment and your visa's running out, they've given you an extra 3 months based on these current regulations.
Are they going to do this with our car licenses?
Yeah, well, they supposedly did last year, but then you can't get an appointment to get your new car license. So
I know.
Good luck. There's a really big trial that is set to take place in Italy. They say it's going to be the biggest organized crime trial in Italian history. 355 suspected mobsters and corrupt officials have been charged following a long inquiry into a group there called the 'Ndrangheta Group. Apparently, more than 900 witnesses are expected to give evidence, and the charge sheet includes murder, drug trafficking, extortion, and money laundering. It begins on Wednesday and is expected to last more than 2 years. And they're going to have it in a building which has been modified especially for this in the southern region of Calabria. And the building, which was formerly a call center, has been converted into a fortified courtroom to make space for hundreds of people who are likely to attend the proceedings. No mafia trial has been held in Italy on such a scale since the 1980s. So how's that?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, it's like coroner putting all of us here in this hotel on trial because we're murderers and drug dealers and not hookers.
Someone actually suggested on the messages this morning that what you need to do is take a picture of her taking pictures of you and then show her how ridiculous she looks. It's from Venetia.
Point taken. Again, I thought she was a botanist. I don't really go take pictures of gardeners.
All right.
That's me.
Also in the news this morning, one of the final stories, we've got two more here. So Mexico has published rules on marijuana use, medical marijuana use. On Tuesday, they said the medical use of marijuana needs to be regulated, but a lot less harshly than it has been in the past, more than 3 years after their legislation by Congress. The move comes as lawmakers consider whether to legalize marijuana for recreational use to reduce violence linked to drug trafficking. Well, I always think if you make these things illegal, then you're inviting criminals to run the thing. And that's what's been happening in Mexico for the longest time. I'm not saying they should make all drugs legal. Maybe that's an argument that we should have. But certainly, you know, why should you be putting people in jail? Why should you be criminalizing the use of something like marijuana when we allow people to drink and smoke cigarettes and we don't have a problem with that?
But isn't it interesting how the people, the powers that be, don't really make more informed decisions, you know, looking at other countries and how things work there? Well, I think it's been a year or two with marijuana being legal in South Africa where you can smoke it at home. If you didn't smoke marijuana before, is anyone else smoking it more? I certainly haven't.
I don't think
Exactly. So people are still going to do exactly what they want to do. And you think that decisions like this would inform them
better. Well, I mean, the same goes for COVID. You've got governments all over the world copying bad ideas, like, you know, certain elements of lockdown, which are obviously stupid. I mean, you remember when we, for example, just a week ago, I think it starts now that you can get somewhere 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. as opposed to only being able to get there after 6, otherwise you'll be arrested, which is stupid. There are a lot of people whose work has to start at 6 o'clock, so they have to leave home at 5. But you know, the government just makes a rule because they don't know what normal people are going through. They don't care. They probably copied that out of Boris Johnson's playbook or something. Anyway, listen.
Yeah, Gary.
Yeah.
You said something interesting. You say, Al, you always find a way to get around things. And it's been disappointing to see while these rules are in place, people are really breaking the rules. For example, there were parties held in Cape Town where you could...
Where you could what?
Go there, get at 9 o'clock and stay there till 6 in the morning. And obviously get you arrive at the party at 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Or 10 o'clock at night, depending what time lockdown is. And then you can leave at 6 in the morning.
Okay.
And so people would jaw and they would open... Okay.
Sure.
Which, by the way, doesn't break the law because you... Sure. But then, I mean, I don't know what you're consuming on that property in general. Probably would be illegal drugs, so you're breaking the rules in some way. You're doing some nonsense. But so people were doing that. And people were going around it. But I take your point. But, you know, under these circumstances, where do you start and where do you end? And that's got to be the big question. You know, it was interesting. And I had seen that stat because I know someone that works in trauma in Barra, in Chris Harney Barra Gwynedd. And to have an empty trauma unit on New Year's Eve, or Old Year's Eve, was absolutely incredible for these doctors.
Yeah, because what are they? Because you could play solitaire all fucking night.
No, because Gareth, people weren't stabbing each other. People, I mean, one year we did a story. No,
they probably were, but no one could travel after curfew, so they just bled out at home.
Well, this or then.
So yeah, you think that's going to change people's behavior? It didn't, Alan. All it did is it forced this stuff underground. And frankly, that's what doctors are there for. Don't give me that whole doctors need a break because they're so busy treating COVID. Doctors are there to deal with trauma, and they're different doctors to the ones who deal with respiratory illness very often. The reason our hospitals are overwhelmed is because nobody in this country's health department has ever done the work they have to do to make sure that we're ready for any kind of pandemic, let alone this one, which they told us at the beginning of March last year they needed 2 weeks to sort it out for. Here we are, more than 9 months later, and they've done nothing to improve our hospitals. They built a field hospital somewhere, which we didn't use until now, and they say they keep telling us they're going to use it. Nonsense. Now, we all have to...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I read yesterday that there's still some sort of a field hospital or facility built in Nasrec here in Johannesburg. Mm-hmm. And there was an announcement made that there'd be more beds. They'd be bringing more beds.
I think it's been operational for the last 8 months or whatever, but nobody's been there. So it's been a complete waste of money. Again, what are doctors there for? They are there in case someone breaks a bottle on your head, which happens to people, sometimes not bad people who are drinking and partying. Maybe people are walking under a building in Hillbrow. Suddenly they have to be rushed to hospital because some idiot threw a fridge out of a window. It happens. You're not going to stop that behavior.
Yes.
And I'm so happy for all these doctors who sat on New Year's Eve sending WhatsApps to their family and friends saying Happy New Year instead of stitching someone up. But that's not what you're paid for. And I'm not going to feel bad for you.
The point is that just that we're seeing that the behavior over New Year's Eve with the drinking and the driving and all the nonsense, well, I'm not saying just necessarily drinking and driving together, and the trauma incidents did go down, which means that we do live in an alcoholic type of society.
We have a very messy society. I agree with you there. Listen to this. This is a great story. a couple in Canada has been fined for breaking COVID rules after the woman was caught walking her husband on a leash. The woman told the police she was out walking her dog near their home city in Quebec in Canada. On Saturday, the province imposed a nightly curfew. Their curfew is from 8 at night until 5 in the morning. You know, just pick a number. Walking a dog close to your home is one of the reasons that you are allowed to be out between those times. The pair was spotted by the police at 9 o'clock on a Saturday, just a short while after the new rules came into effect. They reportedly told police they were following the rule for pets. Isabel Gondron of Sherbrooke told the local newspaper that the couple did not cooperate with the police. They were fined $1,500 Canadian. Police across Quebec issued 750 tickets for violations during the first weekend of the curfew. Canada has seen a surge. Nearing 670,000 cases. But everybody would have told you up until the surge that Canada were doing everything right. They've got lockdowns, they've got rules. Canada is a very law-abiding society. So how come they ended up with a surge if lockdowns work? Anyway, this person warned that the situation in the province's largest city, Montreal, was really critical, and the hospitals were nearing the point where they could not be able to treat all the patients. So
on well, a leash.
I'm so happy for this couple. They're my new favorite people. As well, like if the husband, if I can identify today as a pineapple or actually tomorrow as a dog, I identify sure. as a dog.
No, you can. Then you can go I'm for a walk. So I want to welcome Rob Hersoff to the show. He's a friend of mine. And Rob, I was talking to Rob the other day, actually. We were talking about some business things that he's doing. And they've got, among other things, Rob invests in a number of different businesses. And I thought we'd get him on this morning and chat to him about some of the things that are going on in his life. Have you had a holiday at all, Mr. Hersoff? Are you there, Rob?
Am I turning on my camera?
Yeah, turn on your camera.
Yeah, I'm on. See. I'm here.
No, there you are.
Is that good?
Oh, that looks fantastic.
Yes. What a great view. I've actually had one of the best holidays. Thank you very much. I thought I'd actually show you the view. This is near Gansbaai.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a sea of fynbos here.
That is magic.
I thought I'd particularly show you because...
That's beautiful.
Isn't it lovely? It's a sea of fynbos and it runs down to De Platte. So if anyone knows De Kelders, Gansbaai, De Platte, it's actually a beautiful part of the world. And I've never been to this little place called Groetbos. So my wife and I and our two younger kids, I've got thousands of children, my two younger kids, came here and we've had, you know, we're hiking and going down, wandering around, not going to the beach.
Yeah. Right. So how have you been? Have you been able to kind of do fun things, or have you been trapped at home like so many people? Alan was telling us when he went to Belito, they were stuck in a house and couldn't even go to the beach.
Well, there's a lot to do. We live in Cape Town. We've got a great house. I'm one of the lucky ones. And what we've been able to do is absolutely explore bits of the Western Cape I had no idea existed, like Groetbos, where I am now.
Nice.
So my wife, who's a Kiwi, has been plotting, you know, what's 2 hours from Cape Town driving, because that's about as much as the kids can handle at the moment.
Right.
And we've been to those spectacular places. It's the Cedarburg, you know, Penhill Farm, you know, places that you just fly over or zoom by if you live the life that I live. And it's just paradise. It's absolutely beautiful.
Magic.
So many places to go.
Have you had to deal with any car-ins over the last couple of months?
No, fortunately. Actually, hang on.
Yeah.
I sort of know what a car-in is. I think I am dealing with one right now. Should I say this or not? So we've had a house in Hermanus for, I don't know, almost 100 years, our family. And it's you know, one of the old houses there, and it's on a beautiful bay. And there is a lady who has, I don't know, for whatever reason, has decided that there ought to be a cliff path in front of 12 people's houses. And there's no natural place to put a cliff path. It's a beautiful, rocky, wild, pristine, magnificent piece of our coastline. Mm-hmm. And there's a natural cliff path that Hermanus has. If you know Hermanus, you kind of go from full cliff along a cliff path. But it's like a natural walk path. And then it carries on further on. But in front of our house and a bunch of other houses, there's no natural path.
Right.
And this woman, Jo Bray Stassen, I've never met her.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, she sounds like a car. There needs to be a path. And it's going to be destructive to the environment. You know, there's going to be an argument over high water mark. There are beautiful animals and birds that come there that are not disturbed. You know, people can scramble over the rocks. It's kind of dangerous. But they're not disturbed at the moment. So it's a natural, pristine part of the coastline. And this woman wants to slam a concrete walk path. I mean, it's just madness in my view. So,
well, you see,
why do people do this?
Well, this is it. Alan was telling us just now about this woman. He's staying at a hotel at the moment to keep his parents safe because they, you know, they're in a much more vulnerable category. So he's staying in this hotel, and there's this woman walking around with her camera phone, taking pictures of people inside the hotel because she's a nosy neighbor who wants to interfere. And I think we are. There's a certain kind of person who does this, and it drives me absolutely mad. And when I see them doing this stuff, I'm not sure what we're allowed to and not allowed to do to them in return. But they genuinely believe that their sphere of influence extends into other people's lives. If they could come into your house and actually take photos of you inside your house, they probably would.
And they do. Rob, by the way, great to see you. Gareth, a quick story. Rob helped me with a big rhino project in London once.
Oh, wow.
It's a phenomenal thing that we raised quite a lot of money for the the anti-poaching units here in South Africa, and we actually got cars for the anti-poachers. So Rob, great to see you. It's been a long time.
So Rob,
great to see you. My daughter actually has one of those lovely little rhinos that you gave away as gifts to the donors. We still have it. It had beautiful
magic.
I mean, Rob, awesome. You've obviously been involved in a number of things over the years, but conservation's a big deal. And you know, it might be a Hermanus-specific problem that you're discussing here with this woman in this cliff path. I mean, I don't know anything about it, but the fact is that there are these little things that make a difference and keep places fairly beautiful and pristine and allow people to live there happily and for the animals and the plants to grow and everybody to have a harmonious kind of relationship. But some people seem to think that their, you know, afternoon walk needs to be a little more comfortable. So they want to concrete things in and do all of this stuff. How do you even fight things like that at the local level? I mean, do you have to start an action group or like, what do you do?
Well, a lot of people have got together, including, you know, a lot of the environmental people in Hermanus who are trying to protect Fernkloof to create, and actually the name just came up in the last few days, Save Our Shores. So there's a natural linking of people that live in the area, that love Hermanus, that don't want things to change, plus environmental people. And then, you know, if this woman's going to force everybody to spend 20, 30 million rand to build a horrible cliff path, wouldn't that money be better used at Swillahile, the local township, you know, where people are struggling to have a basic living? You know, what is she thinking?
Do you think
we need the cliff path?
Do you think it's an ego thing too? Because there are people who it's all about them, and they feel like a little bit of power, and when they feel that they can manipulate things, they can make things go their way, they start feeling powerful, and it becomes an addiction.
Yeah. Look, I haven't met her, but she's a divorcee, a lot of money from her ex-husband. She's hiding behind a Bell Pottinger style sort of blitzkrieg PR campaign that she's funding. And it's not nice. So, but what the good thing is, I don't think the municipality can justify something like this. So they're not going to fund it. You know, they've got other priorities, and rightly so, you know, in the local informal settlement, we should be helping them. But the environmental people are going to fight against it. So I don't know who she's got on her side other than money and PR people. Hopefully it'll just collapse under its own weight.
Well, it's a couple of things. Number one, it's that people with, again, and there's nothing wrong with money, but it's when you don't have a purpose and you just need to do something for the sake of doing something. So, so for example, like this car in here, okay, she's got no purpose. I mean, for example, you know, there's massive fire projects that need to be put underway, for example, in the Hermanus area. There's a lot of fynbos that was lost a year, 2 years ago in that massive fire, exactly 2 years ago, to the day, actually, all right, around the 15th of January, that whole mountain was on fire. That is the type of stuff that you should focus on. That. How are you going to help your local community? How are you going to worry about, instead of taking pictures in the bush here, for goodness sakes, go and feed a child or put shoes on a child's foot that needs to go to school. Do something that's going to give you a purpose, not take for your selfishness, for yourself. Everyone's a bit selfish, we get it, but do something that's going to just uplift, allows other people.
No, you're not going to get one extra tourist to Hermanus because the cliff path's been linked up. People are happy enough to wander around Hermanus all over the place, the rocks, the existing path. It's an ego trip. I love your idea that this is a car.
Yeah. So just before you go, because I mean, it seems to be a theme that keeps coming up on the show, these cars. But just before you go, on totally unrelated note, I'm on a couple of groups, and Rob does this interesting thing where everybody gets to find out about these really innovative new businesses. How is the business environment from your point of view, Rob? You're an investor in a number of them. A lot of businesses are struggling because of lockdowns and because of regulations and because of the situation, let's face it, in the world. But are you optimistic about the opportunities that are available to South Africans for employment, for creating their own businesses, for starting things up?
Only in one sector, and that's technology. So I've got a buddy, Michael Louis, who's the CTO of OneCard. He's hiring. He needs to hire tons of people. I've got a buddy, Nick French, who runs Ozow, O-Z-O-W, great business.
We've just done work.
He's desperately
Ozow,
hiring people left, right, and center. But they need tech people. They need coders. They need programmers. They need developers. And, you know, our curriculum, our education curriculum is failing us because people are learning you know, the same old rubbish, whereas they really should be learning the real languages that matter: programming, software, coding.
Yeah.
You know, if we taught kids coding, they'd be hired in 2 seconds and at big salaries. And it's not difficult to do. But, you know, shake up the education department, it's bang our heads.
Yeah. Well, Rob, very nice to see you. That's Rob Hertsov. Yeah. And I hope you get to deal with that Karin in the right way. And thank you very much. We'll continue in a minute or two. We got Alan Ford with us this morning. We've got a busy show ahead of us today. And you could be a part of this. You can message us on 0797482090. You can also message directly to the screen if you're watching us live on Webinar Jam and listening on cliffcentral.com. As is usual, the podcast for the first hour will be up in a moment or two, and then we will have all the other podcasts up through the course of the day today. We've got lots of exciting things happening this year. I'll tell you about some of those during the course of the next week or two. And Alan Ford, if you're wondering who else is with us this morning, has joined us today. A lot of people asking, where is Gord Laws? Well, Gord doesn't have to be here every week. And we thought, you know what, we'll catch up with Alan because we haven't seen him in such a long time. So plenty to do, plenty to talk about today. Stick around. Let us know what you're up to as well. CliffCentral.com.